Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Why, I told you, touch nothing but your bunch of cowboys.
All components, American components, Russian components, all made in Taiwan!
I know how to fix it. Please move. I have to take you away if you don't move.
I'm telling you, please move! This is how we fix problem in the Russian space station! Because I don't want to stay here anymore!
Well, welcome back to another episode of Prog Watch. And if you're wondering what that little clip I just played has to do with, well, come inside, and I'll tell you a little story. I always like some of that stuff in that clip just because I really enjoyed that character in the movie Lev Andropov, the Russian space station guy, you know? That was one of the coolest things in Armageddon, in my opinion. But it also reminded me a little bit of my experiences recording the show last week. Now, when you guys hear the show, you might be imagining that Prog Watch Studios is like this glistening high-tech facility, you know, but I'm going to clue you in on a little trade secret here. It's not. actually, it's a computer, some monitors, some components, Russian components, American components, all made in Taiwan. But it's a bunch of components and a bunch of wires, basically. With all my instruments that I use in my little side project with my music thing there, all loaded into a little bedroom in my little Cape Cod house. So it's not like this glistening, wonderful facility where I press buttons and signals route wherever I want them to go. Instead, I have to play with wires and, you know, when it's working, it's all fine and dandy, you know, but when there's a problem, it's not a lot of fun. You know, you get a little buzz or you get a signal cutting out or something like that. You got to sort through all this spaghetti trying to find a bad wire, a bad connection, whatever it is. So my motto is kind of like Lev Andropov. Touch nothing in Prog Watch Studios, you know. But I had to touch some stuff here in the studio last week. One of the things I've been meaning to do was get set up to do Skype because that will allow me to, well, for one thing, I'm going to be able to call in on the Progzilla Marathon that's going to be coming up here pretty soon. It's the 9th of December coming up here. But anyway, beside being able to do that, I'll also be able to record Skype. I wanted to be able to do that so that I could do real interviews, you know, sit-down interviews with some of the bands, you know, with some of the band members. So I had to wade in and figure out how to route all these signals and do all this stuff. And I got it all figured out. But then I came up here to do the show the next day, and I sat down and ran through all my audio, like 20, 25 minutes of me sitting there talking, working off my notes. And when I went to play it back, I had recorded 20 to 25 minutes of silence. There was nothing there. So I was not very happy about that. So I did a few things, tried to fix a few things. And anyway, I recorded it a second time, and when I played it back, it was all distorted. So at this point, I was not a very happy camper, and I was more or less like, this is how we fix problem in Prog Watch Studios. But for the third pass through, I did have everything worked out, and you probably didn't notice, you know, because the show just sounded just fine. But one benefit of doing the show three times was I had a lot less of those things to edit out later. It was rather smooth by the third time I did it. I'm not going to say I'm going to do it three times all the time, but, you know, it all worked out. And the most important thing is, you know, that I'm going to be able to do Skype interviews and things like that coming up very soon. I've been talking to Aaron Clift of the Aaron Clift Experiment, and I think we're going to set up a real sit-down live Skype interview for this show here. So look forward to that coming up pretty soon. But enough of my long-winded preamble here. Let's just get rolling. Hi to everybody out there. Prog Positivity, Progzilla, Voice 35 Radio, on iTunes, Stitcher, soon to be on Google Play Music. That's a new service coming out that ProgWatch has been approved as a show to be on that service as well. So hello, everybody. Thanks for coming along again. And I guess I'm going to get things rolling here. First up, I'd like to play something from an artist I've featured here before in his band Sound of Contact and in his solo stuff, Dave Kersner. He put out the album New World last year, 2014, and then put out a deluxe version of it this year. Dave is a singer, songwriter, producer, keyboardist. He co-wrote and co-produced all the Sound of Contact stuff with Simon Collins, son of the Phil Collins. He's also known as the founder of a sound production company called Sonic Reality, where I don't know if you heard the episode before, but Dave has hunted down all these vintage instruments, and now his company, you know, part of what he does is sample all these sounds and offer them as sound banks for musicians working in the digital age here, where you have electronics and MIDI controllers and all this stuff, and you can trigger sounds, you know, you make it sound like an old sitar or, you know, whatever it is, and all these old analog synths they have emulated these days. So that's a pretty neat thing. But in addition to his career as a solo artist, Dave's part of several projects, including the UK-based band Mantra Vega with Heather Finley of Mostly Autumn. I think the album, the Mantra Vega album, is going to be coming out pretty soon. And he's been having a real blast lately. He's been making videos for songs from his album. He's been jamming with and rubbing elbows with some really big names on this year's Cruise to the Edge. It's pretty good to be Dave right now. And he's also making some really good music. So I'm going to dip back to New World once again here on the show and play a song called Stranded, Part 1 through 5. We'll be right back. Once again, that little prog epic was called Stranded Part 1 through 5 by Dave Kirzner from his New World album.
This is Steven Spielman of Unified Past, and you're listening to Prog Rock.
And that's going to bring me to a little feature we've been doing quite often here on a regular basis, the Prog Radar Weekly Recommendation and Bite Size Review, in conjunction with my friend Martin Hutchinson over at Prog Radar. If you haven't checked out Prog Radar, you should go and do so. There's a lot of great reviews going on over there, many written by Martin himself. He's also been farming out some interviews to other folks like fellow Progzilla DJs and record label people, stuff like that. Lots of people chiming in with some pretty cool reviews that can help you sort through all the great music that's out there and find what you are really interested in. But anyway, this week, Martin and I decided to do something from the new Mystery album. We featured Mystery here on the show before. They just put out a new album called Delusion Rain. And the song that we're going to feature is The Willow Tree. And we'll get to Martin's bite-sized review after the track.
Thank you. he stood still in the wind, amazed by the beauty of a dream.
Have to
touch their lives. No one could ever say, but there lives the meaning of your passage yesterday. Have you seen their eyes? Have you seen their eyes? To join on a summer day, memories.
Once again, that little ditty, and yes, I'm being completely sarcastic because it was quite an epic, actually. But it was called The Willow Tree by the band Mystery, just released on their Delusion Rain album. So here's Martin's bite-sized review. This is Martin speaking. I was wondering if Mystery would be able to follow the rather good The World is a Game after the departure of Benoit David, but with new frontman Jean Pageau, a fully-fledged member, the band have delivered a thoroughly magnificent follow-up with Delusion Rain. Like all good albums, it needs a good few listens before you appreciate its slow-burning depth, and in The Willow Tree, they have a bona fide prog epic. Once again, I concur with my friend Martin over there. And like I said, if you haven't been to his site, go check it out. They have a Facebook page, and I'm not sure about the progradar.org. Last time I looked, it was not there again, so I don't know if he's having server issues again or what, but if you don't find progradar.org, you can always find it on Facebook. Progradar, P-R-O-G-R-A-D-A-R.
This is Voyage 35 Radio. Enjoy the music.
Next up, I'd like to play something from the Steve Rothery Band. Steve was a founding member of Marillion in 1979, which some people consider to be the beginning of the neo-prog genre. All arguments aside, his signature sound certainly helped develop the genre and the role of guitar players in the neo-prog sound, and also helped to develop one of the most fervent followings in modern progressive rock, the rabid following of Marillion, of course. He played in a few projects over the years, such as The Wishing Tree, but this was actually his first solo album proper. It takes its name from the spooky ghost town, which was abandoned after the nuclear disaster at the Chernobyl reactor in the late 80s. The name of the album, of course, is The Ghosts of Pripyat, and this is the Steve Rothery Band, and the track I'm going to play is called Old Man of the Sea. Once again, that was Old Man of the Sea from the Ghosts of Pripyat by the Steve Rothery Band. It was released in 2014, I believe. And the band features Steve on guitar, Dave Foster also on guitar, Ricardo Romano on keyboards, Yatim Halimi on bass guitar, and Leon Parr on drums. He also had guests, Steve Hackett and Stephen Wilson, flying in a few guitar solos there. So, yeah, good album. It's all instrumental, but it shows a lot of diversity and different approaches, different styles, and just some really good stuff by the Steve Rothery Band. Now I'd like to do a little feature on the U.S. band Unified Past. This band was formed just before the turn of the century, but the roots of the band go back to the early 1980s when Steve Spielman and Victor Tassone started working together in various band projects and then formed their own band in 1990. That band was called Labyrinth and was active throughout the 90s. Three albums were released under that name. By 1999, the band was led by Spielman on guitars and drums, with Vinnie Cravassi on keyboards and vocals, Peter Palmieri on bass, and Matthew Wood on drums. They were approached by indie label Atomic Records, and upon signing with them, figured that a new name was in order to start this new chapter in the band history. Thus, Unified Past was born. Later that year, they released their first album under the Unified Past name. The name of the album was From the Splintered Present Surfaces, and it featured some re-recorded Labyrinth material and a few new pieces. The band went on a bit of a recording hiatus in the early part of this century, but re-emerged in 2008 with the album Power of Existence. This album saw Spielman rejoined by a couple of his old Labyrinth cohorts, Steve Cavoli on vocals, Victor Tassone on drums, and Vinnie Cravassi doing some guest work on the keys. The next few albums saw Spielman taking over much of the musical duties, with Cravassi kind of coming and going on keyboards. By the time of their 2013 release, Spots, Unified Past had Spielman doing all the guitar, keyboard, and lead vocal duties, with his faithful bandmate Vic Tassone on drums and backing vocals. On this album, the guys were joined by Dave Mickelson on bass. From this album, I'd like to play a track called Big, and this is from the album Spots by Unified Past, released in 2013. We'll be right back. once again, that was Big from the album Spots by Unified Past, released in 2013. Now, Steve Spielman was kind enough to answer some of my questions, so I'd like to play that interview for you now. So where do your ideas come from and how are they developed? From jamming sessions, doodling, or from your head or heart and then trying to get that emotion on the instrument?
I'm often asked, where do my ideas come from? Most of my ideas come from just jamming, just practicing jamming. I get that idea and I just start developing it. And then from there, the song begins to take on a life of its own. Some songs are written and flow together pretty quickly. Other songs, I may take ideas and record them, and it may take me 6 or 7 months until I feel pretty good about other pieces I've wrote that will complement them and go together. So my ideas always start with jamming, and some of them come together quickly and some of them take months.
What kind of equipment do you use? How and why did you choose your instruments? What, if any, modifications have you made to get your sound?
I've experimented with all kinds of guitar equipment. My main guitar has been a BC Rich that I bought in 1987, and I still use it today. I just love the way this thing feels and the way it plays, and that's my favorite. Recently, over the last 2 years, I've gotten a Dean 7-string, and that was the first time I've ever gone beyond 6 strings. And I really love that guitar too, and it played a real big role in the music that was written for Shifting the Equilibrium. I also have a Carvin DC-400 that I absolutely adore. I used that on the song Peace Remains in This World. I use Carvin amplification exclusively. I'm a really big fan of their equipment. I have a Carvin X100B amp, a full stack that I bought in 1987 and still use it today. I also have a Carvin Legacy amp that I bought during the recording of Observations, and I switch off between the two now. I go back and forth between using the old-fashioned stomp pedals, the Boss Rack, and I also use a Rocktron rack system with an Eventide harmonizer. I also have a Dean acoustic guitar, as well as a classical guitar that was custom-built for me while I was going for my master's degree in classical guitar.
So what's the recording process like for you? Tedious and structured? Or do you allow yourself flexibility to continually create as you record?
I really like the creating process. I love to write. I love to layer in the studio. I love layering the acoustic guitars and the electric guitars. That's my Jimmy Page influence coming through. Alex Lifeson of Rush in the 70s. The recording process sometimes, you know, it can be frustrating because sometimes you play something just right, but you weren't happy with the tone on the guitar. Or sometimes the tone on the guitar was perfect, but you really know that you could have played it better. And trying to get that blend between the right sound and the right performance can be frustrating, but it also is very rewarding when you work through that.
Do you get to play live as much as you would like? What do you love about being in front of an audience, and what do you hate? Do you have any fears?
I really love to play live. I think there's nothing like presenting your music in a live situation. Every gig is its own little event. Feed off of the vibe of the audience, and some nights the drummer's on, some nights it's the bass player, and it's just unbelievable how you can play the same set and yet have a different experience. Now, the band Unified Past hasn't played live since our comeback in 2008. So we really have our sights, our goals are to play live in the spring and summer of 2016. And I am a little nervous because our music is pretty complex and we're working with a new keyboard player. And, you know, I'm sure those first couple of performances, you know, there's a little bit of an unknown. We got to get used to playing with each other live again. But, you know, usually it'll only take 2 or 3 gigs, and then it all comes together again.
Do you remember the first song you ever wrote, even if you were a kid or teen? Greg Lake said he wrote Lucky Man when he was 12. What about you? If you remember it, do you care to give us a sample, play a few bars? And what song in your current catalog do you love the most and feel best defines the sound you want to be identified with?
I've always been a songwriter. As soon as I started picking up the instrument as a kid, I just started writing songs. They weren't very good, but that was always what I did. I loved to write. The song Take Me All the Way that appeared on our very first recording, Breaking Up the Atmosphere, I remember writing that song as probably a 14-year-old. And, you know, I learned my power chords and how to pick kind of quickly. And that song came together. And then, you know, 7 years later, it appeared on our first CD. You can hear the Yes and the Emerson, Lake and Palmer influence in that song. Yet you could really hear at times some of the metal influences that I like to get into the music.
And you just put out a great new album, have a great vocalist. So what's the future hold for Unified Past?
After the success of Spots, one thing we knew was that to get to the next level, we needed a stronger vocalist. And getting Phil Narrow to sing with us was more than we could ever have hoped to have happened. Now that we have Phil, one thing we know for sure is we work very well together. We are a good combination, and we are looking forward to playing live. Our plans for the future are to play shows and to continue to work on new music. It's certainly not out of the realm of possibility for another Unified Past album or more to come out in the future with Phil Narrow as our vocalist.
All right, once again, special thanks to Steve Spielman for answering my questions there. And as Steve said, on the latest album, things took a big turn for the better with the addition of Phil Narrow on vocals. Now, Phil's been in Druckfarben, Backhand, and he's also worked with Corvus Stone, another band we featured here, Druckfarben also. From that highly acclaimed album, Shifting the Equilibrium, I'd like to play a song called Erasure Principle. Once again, that song was Erasure Principle from the album Shifting the Equilibrium, the most recent 2015 release from the band Unified Past. And I hope you enjoyed this little taste of Unified Past and a little look into the mind of Steve Spielman. And I hope you liked what you heard. And if you do, please go support them. They're not too far from where the Squatch lives. They're up in New York there. And if they're ever around my way, I'm definitely going to have to try to hook up with Steve and check them out live.
Nonstop Radio.
Forage 35.
And yes, that's me climbing up into the attic one more time to find a classic for this week. And this week I'm going to get jazzy with you guys with some Brand X. Brand X was a jazz fusion band active between 1975 and 80, and then again from 92 to 99. Noted members included John Goodsall on guitar, Percy Jones on bass, Robin Lumley on keyboards, and Phil Collins on drums. Goodsall and Jones were the sole constant members throughout the band's existence. I was introduced to this band by my friend and sometimes co-host Steve Luddig. We were in a record store together. Yes, there were record stores way back in the mid-80s. And he saw the Brand X compilation called X-Tracks. I didn't know who they were, but he mentioned the Collins connection and said it was jazz, and being a drummer, I wanted to hear Phil playing on some more jazz-oriented stuff, so I bought it. Soon after, I was hunting down many of the original albums from which the compilation was drawn. So anyway, from the band Brand X, I'd like to play a song called Nuclear Burn. This is from their Unorthodox Behavior album, released in 1976. Once again, that was called Nuclear Burn by Brand X from Unorthodox Behavior, released in 1976. And like I said, I really enjoy some of this stuff just to hear Collins in a different setting because, you know, no matter what anybody wants to say about his solo stuff, you know, maybe getting a little poppy, you know, maybe, you know, whatever you want to say, like it or love it, I don't care. Phil Collins was one of the best drummers that ever played in rock and roll, in my opinion. And I'll argue that with you anytime. But anyway, if you have any kind of an interest in somewhat jazzier material, Brand X put out a lot of really good stuff. Now, Phil wasn't with the band always, you know, but I think he did probably 5-6 albums with them and was a guest on one or two more maybe. So check him out, Brand X. If you're a newer convert to the prog scene here and never listened to them, I can highly recommend them.
Farewell and adieu to you fair Spanish ladies. Farewell and adieu, you ladies of Spain. For we've received orders for to sail back to Boston. And so nevermore shall we see you again. Farewell and adieu to you fair Spanish ladies. Farewell and adieu, you ladies of Spain. For we've received orders for to sail back to Boston. And so nevermore shall we see you again.
So once again, that brings us to the end of the line. I'd like to thank you for coming along again, and I do sincerely appreciate your support. And if you do like the show and you happen to be on Facebook, stop by the Facebook page, Prog-Watch, give me a like or drop me a line there. Or if you want to do it in a more private setting, you can always email me, progsquatch, P-R-O-G-S-Q-U-A-T-C-H, @gmail.com. You can leave comments, suggestions, whatever you want to say. Tell me it's good. Tell me it stinks. I don't care. I'm looking for feedback. And that's how, you know, that helps me make the show better, I hope. And as it evolves, hopefully becomes more of what you guys want to hear. And one other thing, I do some stuff on Twitter. I do have big hairy thumbs, and I would never be able to, you know, type on a little keyboard on a phone, you know, a cell phone or a smartphone. In fact, you know what? I'm such a Neanderthal. I don't even have a cell phone. Can you believe it? God's honest truth. It's like, hey, if I'm not here at home, I'm at work. And if I'm not at work, I might be visiting my mom and dad or whatever. But I'm pretty much of a homebody. I don't go too many places. And you know what? Sometimes when I'm out, I don't want to talk to anybody, really. I'm enjoying being out. I don't know if any of you can relate to that. But I don't know that I would want to be able to be reached at any time. Plus, my wife has a phone. So if anything ever happens, we're out, car breaks down, whatever, you know, we'd be able to call somebody. But back to the root of what I was talking about, the Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter. I was able to set it up on my computer so I can type on a real size keyboard. But the Twitter handle is @progsquatch, @progsquatch, all one word. And over there, I like to do something I call the Today's Classic. I even invented my own hashtag, which is pretty well populated at this point. So I've been doing it for like a year, I think. Yeah, it's just a fun little thing I do, put up an album of the day kind of thing, you know, if it, you know, commemorate the anniversary of the release of a great album, or maybe to celebrate the birthday of someone who was in a great prog band, you know, put up an album cover and wish them a happy birthday. So if that sounds interesting to you, you can follow me on Twitter @progsquatch. And once again, that leaves me at the very, very end of the line saying, prog on, brothers and sisters.
Program complete.
Bye.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.